Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Morning.
Good morning, Kenny.
It is time. I was looking through the internet last night. I came across this great photo of legendary, now Hall of Famer, Jerry Kramer, as he and his Green Bay Packer teammates lifted Vince Lombardi upon their shoulders after Super Bowl II, back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
There it is.
And it made me think of the famous photo Ben Axelrod took of you standing over me, screaming at me with an undefeated preseason champ shirt while I hang my head in shame as we were on the precipice of a losing season.
I got to find that shirt. Where is that shirt? I've got so many brown shirts, and now...
Now you're in the middle of a move, so...
Good luck. And then, what shirts will I unearth? Will I find my Brian Hoyer shirt, which I haven't seen in years?
American Hoyer story?
Where did that one go? I have my... Thanks, Sashi. I have my Sashi Brown shirt. I wore that the other day. And now, because of Hard Knocks, we've got a whole new brand of shirts.
Yes, bless them.
Bless them. Eight different companies. Ran into each other. They were on 480, and as they were all going to the printing press, it was a 30-car pileup. Because the shirt companies just rammed into each other, all getting to the presses.
Racing to get to the silk screeners. Today's the day, though. Today's the day we begin the defense, folks, of the preseason championship.
And so it begins. Woo! Let's go. All right.
Let's go. Let's do it, baby. Let's do it.
This is after Francisco's walk-off last night. It's a great time
for the preseason.
It's a great time for us sports fans in Cleveland.
It's just regular season baseball.
Yeah, let's get to preseason football. Put up or shut up time tonight.
Play it tonight. Play it now. You don't know when you're ever going to get to play it again. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, what's the deal tonight? How long is Tyrod going?
It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmy and Joes or the Derek Willies.
All right.
I don't even think I'm saying his last name right, but the hell with it.
Ratley. Who's the Ratley guy everybody's been pumped about? Damian?
Damian Ratley.
Damon.
Damian.
Damian, okay.
Yeah, with an I. There's an I in there.
One time I'll learn some of these players' names.
We can go Orson Charles. Great big tight end.
We have a guy named Orson.
Got a man named Orson. Orson Charles.
That's exciting. I was going to say Terrence Mitchell, but he's starting.
Christian Boutte. I think I'm saying that right. Let me look at the pronunciation.
Wait,
yeah, Boutte.
Who was the guy that caught one of the early passes from Baker Mayfield in a scrimmage I'd never heard of? Carnoustie?
Oh, no.
The guy named after the British Open course?
No, that's Devin Cajuste.
Cajuste.
No, it's Cajuste.
Oh, Cajuste.
Yeah.
No, but if he's good, we'll be saying, you've been Cajuste.
C-A-J-U-S-T-E.
Okay, I'm not going to throw him under the bus.
Cajuste. See, I messed it up now.
I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but I was...
Former Stanford Cardinal.
I was doing TV on 19 that night, the scrimmage.
Yeah.
But I wasn't watching every play because Adam had me come over and do radio, and so basically I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so I go over to one of the staffers for the Browns, who you and I both like and talk to all the time.
Yeah.
And I go, who the hell caught the pass from Baker? Who are you playing Baker Mayfield with? Eighth stringers? Who is this guy? He goes, that's Devon.
It's hard.
He had no idea. He had no idea.
It's hard to pronounce that name. Yeah, man. Just call it DC, baby, and that's the way you move. I mean, come on. It's time for the preseason.
The capital of the Browns receiving corps, D.C.
Yes.
That's right. Let's go.
Damn it. There's other storylines that are involved in here. How much Antonio Callaway is going to play. Just how much he's going
to
play.
Wait, isn't he supposed to be in court today?
That's been moved back. They got moved back yesterday to August 23rd.
Oh, okay.
So
if he weren't a Browns football player, he would otherwise just be in court today like everybody else? Or what? How'd that work?
What are you trying to say?
You got to watch that video.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you get something where you could go to work?
I watched that video. I there's some preferential treatment going on for the young man.
The guy was
basically a Browns backer. I think I think the officer who went to cite him was wearing a pumpkin head.
If there were...
Bone Lady. He was driving Bone Lady's car. It wasn't my car.
Come on.
It wasn't my car. Look
Come
at all
on.
The bones. Look at the Bernie Kosar bobblehead. Come on. That's not my car. It was brought over here from Parma.
Pulled him over in Pumpkinhead's trailer. Hey, just move it over to the side of the road there, pal.
Wait, why is G.E. Smith in the back with the saxophone and the guitar?
Okay, real quick. Now, the police officer did his job. And respect our boys in blue. However...
Wait, while he was getting an autograph on the citation?
Percent chances he asked whether or not Josh Gordon was coming back. Percent chance.
85.
I know you've been to camp for the media stuff. You haven't been there really as much for it. You've been there a couple times for practice. And I think because you were shooting TV, you had to get out of there quickly to do that stuff. If you leave at the normal time, if anybody at all, if they know exactly, if there's a gaggle of people walking out there, hey, you know anything about Josh? Do you know anything about Josh? Do you know anything about Josh? Don't know anything about Josh. I have no idea about Josh. They say they respect his privacy.
Yes, yes.
And then that's it. But there's so many different storylines that are playing out here tonight, folks. We have Tyrod Taylor and how he'll only play for a little bit. And then, I don't think you noticed this. This is the first of what is going to be a duel. You have Baker Mayfield. And who's he going to be going up against? Mono, Imano, and a Marino Ken O'Brien style shootout. Davis Webb.
Oh, yeah.
My first day actually participating with the team was a Wednesday, and on Wednesdays we did 7-on-7. And I got out there and it started to sprinkle a little bit. And Davis yells at me to go grab him some towels because his footballs were going to get rained on and he wouldn't be able to grip them. And I kind of looked at him like, are you kidding? Are you actually talking to me? And he said, go get me some towels. I looked at him and I said, I don't know who you're talking to, but you're not asking me to get your towels. And then the strength coach walked out. He looked at Davis and he goes, you can let that walk on talk to you like that? And I looked at him like, yeah, I'm going to talk to him like that and I'm going to talk to you like that because I'm not taking any of that from you right now. I looked at both of them and that's when I realized it was in my head. I said, I'm going to do everything I can to take his job and then prove him wrong.
Audio courtesy of Fox. He's going to make him eat it tonight. He is going to make him eat it tonight. Nobody plays better. This is the entire reason he's taking number one. I'm serious. He has played with a burr in certain places and a chip on his shoulder his entire life. Folks, I think if he actually does well, he's going to make him eat it tonight.
Well, here's one of the problems within the Browns. I think Tyrod's being too nice to Baker. I think Tyrod needs to start ripping
being
on him.
Being mean to him?
Being mean to him, because that's the thing that gets Baker going. You know, Baker's showing up an hour after Tyrod, according to Hugh Jackson at Hard Knocks. He made sure to have him go over and tell him. I think Tyrod's got to be nasty and start telling him to go get the towels.
Kick him out of the RV.
Hey, here's my jock strap. Go put this in the laundry. Get rid of this. Let's go. Like, he needs to be a lot meaner. Tyrod's too nice. What's going to get Baker going if Tyrod's too nice of a guy?
There is... And I should share this, for I have a theory, except that so many people have done it, I can't give as many people credit as I want. There is a little bit where you'll start to buy into this, that this is by design, that you're going to hold him back on purpose and really put the chip on his shoulder the way it's been. He's not been, I don't know if he's ever had anything anointed to him, so I really can't say he's been anointed to anything, so I really can't say that he's played that way in the past. So if he's grown up one way of having a giant chip on his shoulder, you might as well put a giant chip on his shoulder, put a boulder there as he starts to take over for your football team, right? To keep that type of motivation there, if that's what makes him tick, you might as well make it sing. There's things that I disagree with, the whole media thing and the enemies list, basically. Mm-hmm. That's very Nixonian. But if it's what makes it work, then to hell with it. Fine. I'm fine with it. As long as it works, I'm perfectly fine with it. But no, if... if you're Baker Mayfield going into this, it's not just about getting your work in and getting used to it. I there has to be somewhere you're looking across the field and like, hey man, I'm not you got taken in what round? I'm number one overall.
He was third. He went 87th overall, Davis Webb.
Yeah, I'm not your towel bitch. That ain't happening today. That is not happening. People are arguing that you're the future of the Giants franchise. I know what I am to the Browns franchise, and I'm going to jam it down your throat every single time. That's the way I would look at it if I were him.
I'm sure he does. I think that's
definitely how he looks at it.
I think every time you've seen him interviewed, anytime you've seen him do anything media-wise on one of his 8 reality shows that he signed up for, that he sold the rights to, I think you have seen a guy who
no problem
is...
No problem with a man being a businessman?
No problem whatsoever.
We know you're a socialist over there.
If you're curious about how to obtain his services or buy his rights, it's right on his Twitter feed. It says, hey, for any inquiries, here it is. Like he's pretty open about it.
I guess we'll do the show in Norway someday for you.
But I think it's pretty clear that he's somebody who always loves competition, and that is one of the little things, and it's been little. I haven't made a huge deal about it. That's one of the little things I've talked about when I wondered why it wasn't necessarily a quarterback competition, because I know Tyrod could handle that. Are we saying Baker couldn't handle it? Because that's one of the surprises to me that Tyrod was just anointed as a starting quarterback, because Tyrod has always kind of had that feel that he's looking over his shoulder, hasn't necessarily affected him. Mm-hmm. Baker's a guy who's always loved that struggle, loved that fight. And now, for the first time in a while, Tyrod's not looking over his shoulder, and Baker's not really competing. So that's a different dynamic to me for both these guys, and it surprises me a little bit. I don't think it would have been the worst thing in the world for both these guys to get reps with the ones through the first few preseason games.
You say about non-competing here, I want to highlight something later on in the show where I think maybe Hugh slipped up, and it was caught by the cameras. I want to point that out to you, but that's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now we are talking about preseason game one today. However, there was a walk-off winner last night.
Bottom of the ninth. Two on, two out, 2-2 tie. Deep right field. Good night. Francisco Lindor, his 29th home run of the year. He now has 71 runs batted in.
Indians are now, audio courtesy STO, the Indians are now 63-50. They are 10 games above the Minnesota Twins in the AL Central. Another walk-off winner, but we do have a little bit of controversy, friend. Cody Allen gave up, blew the save, and I woke up this morning. I didn't even want to check social media last night. I woke up this morning, and immediately it was calls for Cody Allen. And I'm a little bit, like, obviously it has not been the type of year. It hasn't been that horrible, but it hasn't been the type of year Cody Allen, I think, would want it to be. He's given up a few more hits than what people would want it. I think his last, I'd say 6 or 7 outings has been pretty good. I'd be willing to even say, God, the last time he gave up runs was what? July 20th? So I know that doesn't feel like it was that long ago. It was 3 weeks ago, the last time he gave up runs. It was a blown save. They still ended up winning that game. But, I am hesitant. I know that they just got Brad Hand, and people are saying, hey, put Brad Hand in there at the closing role. I'm very hesitant to do that. And the reason because of that, Anthony, is that he's proven before he's not overwhelmingly great in the situations where he's not trying to keep a save, you know, coming in early, things like that. And I know that I don't have a whole lot in my bullpen right now that I can fully trust. And maybe Cody is a little bit rickety there when it comes to trust. But I don't want to put him in a situation that he doesn't even trust and then take the wind out of the sails of my bullpen here. Brad Hand seems to be doing a fine enough job. At least to me, I think that he's been doing a fine enough job since he got here. I know he gave up a run the other day. I'm willing to see this out until things hit some sort of a DEFCON. Is it one? One's the highest.
Oh, we're not doing that again.
I know. One? Yeah, one is the highest.
It's definitely one.
Definitely one. So I'm willing to wait until we reach DEFCON 1 here because I don't want to put guys in situations they're not too terribly comfortable.
Well, yeah, so far it's been kind of mixed bag for Brad Hand, too. He's been giving up hits. 4 straight appearances, he's given up base runners and hits. And in 2 of his outings, he's given up runs. Uh-huh. So I don't know how Tito manages this bullpen, something he did as good as any manager has ever done it. A couple of years ago en route to the World Series and one game away from winning the World Series. So You trust Tito in these situations, but right now, I mean, still, their bullpen, it's still not great. Remember, they were dead last before they made those trades. Right now, their bullpen, they're anywhere, depending on what stat you use, they're anywhere from 27 to 29. So their bullpen is still really, really bad. They're still an unreliable bullpen. And that's the hard thing. None of the other contenders are even close. All the contenders right now, Houston, ERA-wise of all, and remember, they sent down their closer.
Yeah.
They're towards the top. The Yankees, who have been scuffling, their top five bullpen. Boston, top five bullpen. You know, the teams you're going to be contending with all have better bullpens than you. I mean, we have the names, and Andrew Miller did a couple games ago go over an inning and actually got guys out. You know, the game before that, he got pulled six pitches in. A lot of it's going to be dependent on Andrew Miller. And then Tito's got to figure out who he's closing games with, who, if he needs four outs, who he's going to. You know, Cody Allen early in the year was charged with that. So I good luck. I don't know how I would manage it. I mean, right now I'd probably still go with Cody Allen as a closer, but yeah. I'm up for moving, guys. If Cody Allen still struggles, I'm up for making changes.
216-578-0092. I want to bring this back at least in the, because certainly it deserves to be in the news dump. We'll bring it back in the news dump too, because I still can't do it just yet. Is I need to leave guys in positions that I know Brad Hand's just here, so I think that he's more acclimated towards a role or can be more acclimated towards a role to set it up. I don't know necessarily what I'm getting back with that. Andrew Miller, I think that Tito would tell you the same thing, obviously, by the performance the other night. And with Cody Allen, I'd still like to leave him in a position that he seems to be still comfortable with, unless that falls apart. But I'm willing to wait until it falls apart. You got a 10-game lead. 216-578-0092. 640, controversy surrounding LeBron's I Promise School. Coming up next, though, it is About Last Night, live on The Fan.
How about the American League MVP race continues to heat up down the final stretch, under 50 games to go. Francisco Lindor, it was his turn. It had been Jose Ramirez before him, but Lindor came through bottom of the ninth, delivering a walk-off three-run bomb with two outs. Indians beat the Twins 5-2, now go for three out of four today in their matinee with Corey Kluber on the mound. In fact, Francisco Lindor said, after striking out when he had a chance in the last game to try to win things in the bottom of the ninth and couldn't, he said he had some motivation from a family member.
All I had in my head today was my dad texted me after the game, and he said, don't worry about it. Tomorrow's another day. And God is good. God has a plan. God is, and tomorrow's another day. You, good things will come. And that's all I had in my head. And obviously that my batch against that guy. But I was just ready to hit in the pitch one.
2 for 5 yesterday, 3 RBI with that home run, and now on the season, Lindor with 29 home runs. So could be trying to catch up to Jose Ramirez. I'll be very curious to see, because I told you yesterday, the only thing left for the Indians this year is to get healthy, have Trevor Bauer or Corey Kluber win the Cy Young. I think Trevor Bauer, to me, has the lead now of the two. And whether or not Jose Ramirez or Francisco Lindor can beat the three guys in Boston who are going for the MVP. Now that it seems like you're not really hearing much about Mike Trout anymore.
Is there supposed to be 2 voters for every market in baseball?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Or for every team that cover every single team. So if there are 2 voters every time, I know we keep hearing, well, Boston's a bigger market. I guess you would watch more Boston baseball than you would Indians baseball because Boston's on national television more. But if you didn't get a chance to watch as much, then if you're just going by simple numbers, I think the Indians get themselves put into the conversation. I think a lot of Indians fans are still going to be upset, though, because it's hard for me to even go against. I think I can give you a great argument for Jose Ramirez, but it's hard for me to go against that previous thought of I'm just used to seeing something else or feeling like we're going to get the Cleveland screw job put on, well, and that you're not going to have Jose Ramirez as the MVP or anybody else. It's going to be like Mookie Betts.
Well, you can't say that the Indians aren't going to win it just because they're going to split the vote, because the Red Sox have players splitting the vote. J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts are right there at the top of the group. And then, you know, Houston, although they haven't been as good over the last month, you've got Altuve. Springer's injured now. I'm just looking at the group. Mike Trout was the betting favorite about 3 weeks ago, but that, I wonder if that's changed, because I'm looking at kind of an outdated list, but this is going to be a race that goes right down the wire. I just wonder if Houston, because of their record, I mean, Boston, because of their record, Boston's up to 81-34. They're on pace for like 114 wins right now. So are they going to be the beneficiary of that? I don't know.
That's going to be difficult. I think Jose Ramirez should be the MVP, but obviously I'm partial, so people will say that outside of Cleveland. I think he should be. I'm just not convinced that he will just because of the previous notion that I brought up. I still think that most people will watch and say, well, I mean, look at the records. Look how much better they are. I think record would probably play into effect there. The offense.
I know. Now, the voters are evenly dispersed around the country, so it's not like I don't think those voters are giving it to Boston because Boston's a bigger city and because they're on national television.
I know that, but if you do see more of them, which you would, because you're watching your own team, but if they're on national television more so they have more opportunities, Sunday Night Baseball,
but I wonder,
to be seen at a different clip.
Here's what I don't get. When it comes to baseball awards, why do you have to watch the guy? I know that they're all great in their own way.
There's a stat for everything.
Well, there's a stat for everything now. You have a way that you can avoid watching when it comes to an award. Not the way the team plays. You have to see the way the team plays to see how clean they're playing the game. But when it comes to actual MVP, they're going to look at the numbers. It's going to be numbers driven.
Well, I understand what you're saying. But even when it comes to Mike Trout, he was having one of the greatest seasons in Major League Baseball history. And people keep wanting to bring up WAR and wins above replacement. How is even better than Babe Ruth? And I'm thinking, okay, that's great. I know you got WAR there, but you could just tell just by watching a Mike Trout game when his team comes to play your team, if he's in the lineup, obviously, that he's just a step above the rest and a few steps above most, if that's the case.
Now, right now, WAR, so, Mike Trout is still your leader in the American League, and there's a bit of a drop-off. Then it's Jose Ramirez and Mookie Betts kind of bunched in together. Francisco Lindor, after a little bit of a drop-off, is there as well. So it is going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of cases to make for all these guys at the top of the American League MVP standings. Mm-hmm. All right, Browns receiver Antonio Callaway made the trip to New York for tonight's preseason opener against the Giants. I was a little surprised by that, Ken. His hearing for minor misdemeanor marijuana possession, driving with a suspended license, moved to August 23rd.
Yeah.
I was a bit surprised that he made the trip. Not that they you know, he has a lawyer. They can move dates around all the time. But when we know that this was a troubled kid and this is the fourth marijuana incident in the last 2 years, they know the microscope is on them, especially with the Josh Gordon situation, and they said zero tolerance. I am surprised, what does zero tolerance mean? If he plays tonight, if he starts tonight, zero tolerance doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot.
I think the horses, I had people, friends who were arguing with me about that because I said, you're not cutting him now. And friends, you got to cut him. No. Well, he said zero tolerance. Okay, he said no tolerance. I didn't say no tolerance.
Yeah, but you're not the guy cutting him.
I understand that. But he's also the guy that when you knew he said that, you knew he didn't mean what he said.
So he
you
lied.
You really thought he was going to a fourth-round draft pick that they traded for a minor misdemeanor marijuana possession charge. Yes, I know about the backstrap, the piece of plastic that goes on the back of the frame of the gun. And I know about the ammunition. That ain't a good look. I understand that. However, if that's what he's charged with, with minor misdemeanor possession and suspending licenses, driving under a suspended license, I don't think you're going to cut a guy for something like that. So they can say zero tolerance. I'm only looking at it from the term of common sense. I would be more apt to say, Hugh shouldn't have said such a thing with no tolerance with a guy who had something go wrong with him with a failed test at the combine, and then just less than a year ago,
which is the biggest jackass move you can have.
And, well, you say that, but still, sorry, I know.
I mean,
you
it is.
That.
What could you have done worse than actually test positive at the combine? The one place the biggest of potheads are like, "Hey, I've got to be free of that."
You're right, because you're talking in a football sense, and I would think that credit card fraud is worse. But you're right in a football sense. You're absolutely right.
All right, so I guess we gotta. I gotta ask you this throughout the course of the show, and I'll give you time if you need it.
Please.
Is it no tolerance now? Are we just going to keep moving the goalpost?
No.
So he's never, no matter how many more incidents he gets, you're never cutting him.
Oh, no, there will be a time. There will eventually be a time.
Well, there hasn't been for Josh Gordon.
The NFL will eventually dictate.
No, not the NFL, the Browns. The Browns can do things independently of the NFL.
Well,
teams cut players all the time.
Talking about cutting a guy, if you just don't think that he's going to be available to you, then that's going to be the case. But I think with Josh, they have consistently thought that eventually he's going to make himself available to
you. Are you prepared to go down the Josh Gordon road over the next 6 years with Antonio Callaway?
Oh, God,
are you cool
no,
with that?
No.
Because he's nowhere near as
six
talented
years,
as Josh Gordon, is he?
No.
Okay, and
six
finally,
years a long time.
We got to go. But finally, you heard Jeff Thomas say it in the update. We do know now that LeBron James, according to Dave McMenamin and now other reports, will be coming to Cleveland, at least we think he will, November 21st. That is a Wednesday night in the lone trip. It's going to be weird. Mm-hmm. LeBron's played so many games in Cleveland over the last 4 years. You get 41 home games. You get all the playoff games. One time this year. That's it, November 21st. Will there be, in the crowd, more Laker fans for that game or more Cavalier
more
fans?
More Cavs fans.
Les Levine asked me
Cavs
that question.
Fans.
Are you sure?
All right, we'll jump back into that when we come back. And also, speaking of LeBron, controversy surrounds his I Promise school. 7:05, your chance to win $1,000 in the Pigskin Payout, the national contest. Also, make sure, radio.com app. Get it on your phone. It's available in your app store. It's absolutely free. I've heard some people have experimented with charging you for such matters. No, it's absolutely free. No monthly fee. Unless you just feel like you just want to charge yourself a monthly fee of 0.00 a month.
Got enough bills, man.
Get after that. I can't believe you were on with Les last night and he asked you that question about LeBron. Or
yes.
About the Cavs and the Lakers. November 21st
yes.
is when LeBron makes his return.
Yeah, how much purple and gold will be in that building? Because we
had some.
All these people in Akron tell us that they're rooting for LeBron now that he's with the with the Lakers. And you know the bandwagon LeBron fans just here in Northeast Ohio, they were going to go wherever he went.
Listen, I'm sure there's, and again, the more I think about it basketball-wise, the more I'm just scratching my head going, why are you doing this in L.A.? Are you just basically punting on the rest of your prime and now you're just going to live it out in L.A.? Which is fine. I mean, hey, man, it's free country. You can do whatever you want. From basketball sense, though, I think it's silly.
Well, at least for a year.
Like,
for a year,
I'm
it's
sorry?
Silly. For
yeah.
a year, it definitely yeah. is silly.
Now, I didn't realize it was the night before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is November 22nd. This will be on a Wednesday then. So this
Wait,
is the
this
night
is amateur night.
Before Thanksgiving. People are off. Owen puts us up there. They're off for the rest of the week.
Oh,
they can
that's
going to
be a fun
he
night.
He used to do this when he was in Miami, too.
I'm already going to get all set up.
Is amateur night because we have the Cavs at the queue without LeBron
you guys
yes.
have,
on our team?
Those will all be amateurs playing in that night. Game.
If you guys ever want to question just how powerful LeBron is, which if you want to throw this in with I Have a Theory later on today at 9:40, you go on ahead. If you guys have any idea how powerful LeBron is, they schedule him to return home.
Mm-hmm.
The night before Thanksgiving so he can be at home with the family on Thanksgiving. Like, we'll do you this service.
Then go watch Ohio State, Michigan.
well, wait a minute.
And then go watch Ohio State. You're right.
The complete schedule's not out yet. We don't know. I mean, maybe they're going to give him a back-to-back and make him play Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry? They're going to make LeBron do a what now? Right. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you know, schedule's not out. He could piss someone off
between
now and then.
First ever time in NBA history, there's no back-to-backs for a team.
Dan Dawkins will be standing outside on Thanksgiving. All right, come on! There's hard-working construction workers out here who need to see you on Thanksgiving.
It's really odd. There's 8 days of rest in between every game this year for LeBron. His 2018-19 season's going to end in 2022. It's really weird.
That's why he signed the four-year deal. It's really only a one-year deal.
It's a one-year deal spread out over 4 years.
One season.
He'll be back on the 21st. I'm not stupid. I know there's a lot of young guys who are LeBron fans on the phone wherever. I would hope, though, in a 20,000-seat arena that is the home of the Cleveland Cavaliers, it would be predominantly Cleveland Cavaliers fans. I would hope. I don't think there's going to be anywhere near the heat he got when he first returned with Miami. But I would hope that a lot of people are going to be Cavs fans and hoping that the Cavs fans win. Maybe I'm still being a little naive. But I think that even LeBron, who casts such a large shadow and has such a large presence, Anthony, I would hope that even LeBron would still be a visitor and somebody that Cleveland Cavaliers fans, the home team's crowd, would want to beat. If that were to be the opposite and that were to be the truth, that on I guess we wouldn't be talking about it till Monday, which, God, there's a football game, so that'll be tucked away nicely for everybody out there in the NBA that we won't get a chance to really talk about it. If that were to be the case, I'd be pretty upset because the NBA would have a problem, a real problem there. Like, there will be a nice portion of Cavs, or excuse me, LeBron fans there at the Cavs game, but I would feel the opposite.
Like, will the camera crews, when they show LeBron, will they also pan up and show the championship banner? Or do they want booze? What do they want? I don't know. I have no idea how their in-game staff is going to operate.
I think maybe a little bit of both. You have to try to show both sides. Lemmy, you noticed something, too, and I noticed something. I'm glad we got a chance to get to it because we have The walk-off win last night, which was nice, and we'll bring that up again. And obviously, we're getting ready for our first preseason game and a lot of Baker Mayfield tonight. I hear we're going to see up to two quarters of him. But
wow.
Clay Travis went off. Cleveland.com did an investigation.
Well, they wrote an article, and I thought it was fair and balanced.
I did, too. A lot of people use this as some sort of a reason to torch LeBron. No, I didn't
this
understand.
So 2 days ago, and this, remember, we did a show last week or 2 weeks ago where we asked fans if anybody regretted some of the things they said about LeBron after he opened up the school. And when we say opened up the school, we did get one caller. I'll never forget this caller. Mm-hmm. The caller called up and said, you guys realize LeBron James is not paying for the whole school. And then we joked and said, yeah, I know LeBron's not putting up the drywall. I mean, it was for effect. But if you had actually read the details, you had always known this is a public school. Well, no. I'm somebody who covered school funding in the state of Ohio for 2 years back in my day. I'm a little bit aware of what the actual formula for school funding is in this state, ruled unconstitutional three times, by the way, by the state Supreme Court. Either way, Kenny,
yes,
you and I were never under the impression that LeBron James gave a check and now there's a school.
Did people think?
People did think that.
Now, maybe we assumed a little bit too much, and maybe people say the media, because the media has always been covering it one side and it's all been LeBron. I didn't think that he paid for them to go over there with the bricks and with the mortar and the rebar and everything and build the school. I knew that the building was there. But this is to the point of, there is someone right here in this article from Cleveland.com. They go, bam, people think LeBron just built the whole school. The building was there. And he's paying for, his foundation is paying for what, $2 million a year?
It says, the district will pay more than half the cost, perhaps around 75% once it is fully running. Now, they still don't have all the details out, which if you have a problem with that, take it up with your local board of education there in the county. But the foundation, he has a foundation. This is how, I don't know if people are new to how charities work and how rich people donate their money and how there are tax write-offs. Yeah, I mean, look, people want their names on buildings for a reason. There is vanity involved in all these projects. But you also have to understand the opportunity that something like this is going to create. I'm just surprised that people either didn't know that this was a public school. Every single time that there was anything about this school, it was public school. So are people not familiar with how public schools work?
Well, it says right here, and I thought that the overarching theme was what Ryan Pendleton said, who's the district treasurer for the Akron City Schools, is that, quote, the school would not have happened without the partnership with LeBron James. If there was no school before and there's a school now and LeBron helped facilitate that with money, and his foundation helped facilitate that with money, what else am I supposed to say? It's an opportunity with a school. And then if we're looking at it towards long-term investment over here, I have a better opportunity for citizens in my community to, this shouldn't be hard, but I guess I'll explain it. I have a better opportunity for citizens in my community to make something of themselves where they would not have had that opportunity before. They might not have had that opportunity before, making it easier to do so than to stick around and then to put more money back into my community as taxpaying citizens with opportunities. Am I wrong here? Is this not for societal change? It's a long-term investment, obviously. We're talking about third graders right now. It's a long-term investment, but that's the entire goal. This entire thing is to get them scholarships, then to turn them into employed citizens who pay taxes.
Yeah, here's what I don't get. Okay, so Clay Travis puts out this last night. If you make $50,000 a year and donate $10 a week to, quote, your church in the offering plate, you donated twice as much of your income to your church as LeBron James donated for his school. And there's one thing I can't stand, and Ken, we've talked about this off the air. We haven't really done it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand charity scoreboard. I can't stand it. I can't stand people who actually donate money who are then held to some standard where they didn't donate enough. I don't understand that. People do this all the time.
It's your cash.
And I think
that's why I don't give anything.
That's why you just make it easy. Easy on yourself and your accountant, Kenny. Just don't do anything. I don't get that. People do that all the time and say, well, you said you were going to do this and you donated this. You know, look, I will say there are boards, okay? You could sit on a board. I've been asked to sit on a board for a charity.
I haven't even been asked to sit on a board.
And you know what?
I'm a way better person than you.
Way better. There are controversies in every charity and every cause for a reason. There's a lot of people that debate what's best for a charity or how to best use those funds for a cause. But that's one thing to hold that to some level, some standard. It's another thing to go after LeBron and say you haven't done enough. Because if you're going to go after LeBron for not doing enough, are you going to hold every other millionaire to that standard? Are you going to do that for every CEO, every single CFO, every single small business owner? Are you going to do that to every single person in town? Are you going to do it to every single one?
I really thought I was in the majority here, and I still think that I'm in the majority, but I think that what we're doing here and what we have to do is I have to separate LeBron the basketball player from LeBron the philanthropist in person. Because, again, the most notable sentence in this entire article, and I'm not arguing against the article. It's a good article.
No, people have a right to know where the money is going and how state money and local money is being used.
We're running around with this thing like he's all of a sudden some horrible Mr. Burns-esque individual and that he's putting the boots to the taxpayer, and it says, well, the school would not have happened without the partnership of LeBron James. If Akron City Schools, and maybe we'll find out here over the next decade plus, depending on how it pans out, if Akron City Schools just goes, well, you're putting an over on us, we can't afford even to have the money. No, if they wanted the school and LeBron could help facilitate the school and there's a school there, then I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, it's just people that I think are just ultimately jealous of his fame, of his money, and how he's using it. People love spending other people's money all the time in these situations.
I might be jealous of you. I'm not jealous of LeBron. That's a different category.
And I have to say, you know, if it took LeBron James, because people are upset that, like, he's not paying for the scholarships Akron is. If it took LeBron James and his influence and who he is civically in that area, in the region he cares so much about, if it took him for a university to step up and pay for these scholarships and make life better and give hope and opportunity to those, if that's a bad thing, then we have different definitions of bad. And one other thing here, you know, it says, I promise will eventually cost about $8 million a year to run out of the district's regular budget, covered mostly by shifting students, teachers, and money from other schools. If you think that's a bad thing, I'd urge you to go talk to the people in the community. Go interview them. Go talk to the parents whose children now have a finish line to look forward to and a totally different life ahead of them. Go ask them. If they say it's a bad thing, then fine. Write that it's a bad thing. But you know what? My guess is you're not going to find anybody in those areas, in the inner city, at-risk students who feel that way. But go talk to them.
All right, so how far does this go? I know you asked about the Antonio Callaway thing, but that comes to football. I just want to know how long we do this. Do we start looking for kids? Because they will. It's sheer society. There will still be kids who go to this school who slip through the cracks. Do we start to count those? Do we try to do that? If it becomes an overwhelming majority, maybe, but I don't think it's going to become that way. I think it's exactly what you say. And if this is to put some societal change in there, I can't see it to be anything but a good thing. I have many criticisms of LeBron. This just is not one of them. 216-578-0092. Coming up in a bit, your chance to win $1,000 in the pigskin payout. In fact, just at 7:05, so you better be hanging on our every word. Coming up next, though, when no tolerance just isn't no tolerance. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.